Today, I want to talk about what we might call two twin conditions of latency and manifestation. That is my translation of the two Pali words, Purijata and Pachajata. Now, Purijata is usually translated as something like pre-nascent, while the word Pachajata is usually translated as post-nascent. But as with many of the Patana conditions of the Abhidhamma system that I've already talked about in the past, I decided to translate these two words in a slightly different manner. So Purijata literally means before birth, and Pachajata literally means after birth. So what is before birth, in a certain sense, is something that is not yet existent, that only is kind of meant to come into existence at some point in the future, while Pachajata is what has already come into existence. So I believe the translation of latency and manifestation are quite good translations for these two words. So let's begin as I usually begin. So usually when I talk about the Patana conditions, I treat them in accordance with the four main Abhidhamma categories of matter, mind, consciousness, and I usually at least mention Nibbana. So because Nibbana is something that stands outside of phenomenal existence, usually the Patana conditions do not as such directly apply to it. But as I said before, it is the direction towards which we always should direct our contemplation. So we do not contemplate just for the sake of contemplation, we contemplate for the sake of understanding better the path to liberation. And that is the aspect of Nibbana. But the first thing that I usually consider is matter. So as today I want to talk about latency and manifestation, I will try to talk about latency and manifestation in relation to matter. Now, matter itself, in a certain sense, stands for manifestation actually. So it is symbolized by the earth element, the most concrete element there is. But as I will show afterwards, even in relation to matter, we can find the condition of latency. So latency as manifestation is symbolized by the earth element. Latency is somewhat symbolized by the water element. So the water element, we might think of some not all too shallow pool of water, like a lake or a pond. Not something where we can somewhat look to the bottom, but where we cannot clearly see what's at the bottom. So that is a symbol for the condition of latency. So it's there is something, but we cannot clearly discern what it is. But especially in relation to water, we can think of something that might be a more accurate consideration of this condition, and that is the condition of salt water, wherein the water is the manifest condition, while the salt in the salt water is the latent material. And this duality you can find principally in all forms of matter. Then maybe as a further example of these two conditions in relation to matter, which is perhaps a little bit more interesting from a practical point of view, is for example how these two conditions work in either food or medicine, because that's something another meditator needs to pay attention to, especially in order to properly look after himself. So in relation to food and medicine, you always have this condition of the manifest condition, now what is obvious, and the latent condition. So if you would, for example, consider about a ginger root. Now a ginger root, the most obvious elements are earth and water, solidness and wateriness. But if you bite into the ginger root, you will quickly realize that it has strong latent fire element. So usually you will not bite twice too boldly into a ginger root. But if you understand this principle, you slowly will become more aware and more mindful when you're eating, for example, and when you're taking medicine. A similar condition you have in relation to the body. Another thing that you need to pay attention to if you want to progress with meditation. In your body, everything that is evident to you is the manifest condition. Something which in medicine, for example, would be called the symptom. While what we usually would think of as the cause of a symptom or the cause of the manifestation is what we would refer to in relation to the body as the latent condition. So the latent condition is always that which you cannot see. But as I will try to make clearer with the progression of this talk, what is manifest and what is latent are not fixed things. It depends on your position. So will your breathing, for example, be an evident fact of manifestation when you're aware of it? But what is latent will be the processes that lead to your in-breath and out-breath, such as the pumping action of your lungs, which is produced by the pumping action of your heart, and all physiological and also mental causes of your in-breath and out-breath may be regarded as a latent condition. Or maybe taking things a little bit out of the realm of meditation, any kind of coarse matter that you are aware of is a manifest condition. And whatever you cannot see in the regard to that is a latent condition. For example, if you take a tree or any plant. Now, actually you cannot see anything within the plant. And you cannot see that the plant is growing. You cannot see that the plant is taking in nourishment and possesses certain life processes. So the knowledge of these things you only acquire later in life. So for example, for a child, there's not much difference initially between a table and a flower pot. Now these are two kind of matters, or a plastic flower and a real living flower. So now the external, what you see is a manifest condition, but as you learn about it, you will understand that there are latent life processes within that plant. Next, you may consider about, for example, animals. So with animals, it will be much more easy to see that they are living things and that there are life processes happening within them, and that they are a manifestation of life processes, not that they're actions are life processes, we can say. But when you become a little bit familiar with a certain animal, for example, with a dog, maybe you have a pet dog or a pet cat, then you will realize that there is a latent mind within the animal. So from that perspective, you will understand that the life processes are the manifest condition, but the mind is a latent condition. So you, when you study further, when you become more observant, you will realize that many of the life processes arise from the processes of the mind. But then, if you want to properly study the mind, you will perhaps sooner or later find it more obvious a thing in a human being, primarily because you yourself are a human being. So if you become aware of perhaps either within yourself or maybe without in other people, now you notice he is angry, he is in love, he is greedy, he is restless, or she is restless, etc. Now when you begin to notice the mind in this manner, then the mind becomes a manifest condition for you, for your consideration. But if you would look closer, then you might notice that these emotions, as we would call them today, these mind states, they arise from a certain latent condition, from a certain latent thought, from a certain latent wish or desire that might have not just immediately preceded the anger or the love or the jealousy, etc. Often the thought might have arisen much earlier, and then it went into latency, and then it quickly triggers an emotion. So the emotion arises from the result of some previous thought. So that thought has been, or the result of that thought has existed in a latent condition within the mind of that person. And then it starts becoming manifest at a later point. So there will the mind state of anger and love be the manifest condition, and the idea or desire or the thought may be the latent condition. Or on the other hand side, thinking of things from below upwards, sometimes a certain physiological factor is the latent cause, the real latent cause for a mind state. So if you have some blood poisoning, for example, then it's much more likely that you're getting irritated or that you're depressed or that you're going crazy, etc. Or, you know, if you're a young man or woman in the bloom of his life and you're sex organs are getting stimulated, then that may lead to desire or interest in the other person. So that will be the latent condition. But it's all a matter of from what perspective you're looking. Next, moving higher to the condition of mental processes, we may learn to understand that often a thought or a particular way of thinking is determined or is strongly influenced by certain latent factors. So you think your thinking is clearly, your thinking is objective, but in reality, the direction of your thinking is determined already by what you would like to be the outcome of your thinking. So there's a certain situation where it's you against the other. Now, I'm right or he is right, or I'm right or she is right. And now you very objectively figure out by the power of your clear thinking that you're right and she is wrong. But that's because of certain latent factors are coloring your thinking or directing your thinking in a certain direction. So there your thought will be the manifest condition, but some latent desire or some latent idea are actually giving the direction of your thought process. then having explored how these two conditions exist throughout phenomena existence, let's put our attention on how this information is relevant for our path to enlightenment. So one essential fact that we need to understand if we want to become enlightened is that we need to find a way to quicken or to bring into manifestation all our latent good potential. While on the other hand side, we need to see to it that we overcome or remove from ourselves all latent tendencies to greed, hatred, and delusion. That is all our latent bad potential. All things hidden in us which could defile the mind when they enter our world of manifestation. So, but then first let's understand what we mean with our latent potential. Our latent potential is whatever we have realized or even just glimpsed of something higher than our ordinary condition. Hence, our latent potential is not something fixed, but is rather something that can grow and change with higher realizations. So it is something very relative. If the highest truth you have realized is that money can solve many of your problems, then, you know, what for a religious person, for example, might be regarded as greed, is not greed for you. It is a manifestation of your latent potential. So these things are quite relative. While on the other hand, what we call our bad potential or latent defilements are the hidden triggers that may make us act in a manner that is contrary to the highest truth we have realized. So again, quite relative. So, but then how do you manifest your latent potential? And how can you see to it that no defilements will ever again have the power to enter your world of manifestation? One essential thing to do for that is to closely observe yourself. And that is, of course, what the four Satipatthanas are all about. And not just to observe yourself, but to observe how what you perceive when observing your actions, when observing your body, your feelings, and your mind, how that relates to whatever you have realized or at least glimpsed of higher truth. And depending on what you realize, to then work out a plan of action as to move more efficiently in the right direction, as well as to prevent yourself from moving into the wrong direction. And usually for that you will need the spaciousness of mind which you gain, for example, through meditation. And of course, the art of meditation itself is a whole art of playing with latency and manifestation, balancing what is with what should be. But about that I might make a talk in its own right in the future. So just as a small conclusion to this little exposition on latency and manifestation, let's summarize. The latent is a hidden part of phenomenal existence, which often is the source and cause of what we perceive in the world of manifest phenomena, or what we perceive in the manifest world. And that fact, if properly understood, can be used to bring certain things, such as the more realistic of our dreams or our hidden potential, deliberately into the world of manifestation. And with that, I hope I left my listeners at least something to ponder about, for which I leave the space to follow.